my thoughts are entitled Apples of Gold. It's taken from Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. A few weeks ago, Joyce found this in her computer and read it over and told me that this is one I should give. So, I read it over. I first did this talk back in the 90s, I think. I updated it a little bit, but it was a real blessing to me because I have this problem, and probably I would say a lot of us do. And I'd like to take some of these things and take this talk and hang it in fact in my bedroom, so I think of these things more and more. And I have lots of scriptures in it because that's what we're looking for, scriptures to tell us what to do. Have you ever noticed how many times the tongue is mentioned in the scriptures? Or do you know how many times Brother Russell referenced the tongue in the volumes, in the reprints, in the manna? Why is it so? Could it be that this is a subject that needs to be thoroughly studied? Else, why would the Lord make reference to it so much? As I said, our opening text says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The New American Translation says, a word spoken in right circumstances. The New International says, a word aptly spoken. The New Living Bible says, timely advice is as lovely as golden apples in a silver basket. And the Today's English says, an idea well expressed is like a design of gold set in silver. I think these different translations really express well the idea of this scripture. We are to be careful when and how we speak. Be thoughtful of the other person. Well, what about our words that are not fitly spoken, or not well expressed, or sometimes we just shouldn't say something we say? And if we examine ourselves, we will find many times our words are not fitly spoken. They are not words that we should be speaking or thoughts that we should be thinking. And I know for me, it's very difficult and almost impossible to control my tongue. And I don't think there's an evil that God's people are more exposed to and tempted with than this one of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, Proverbs 16, 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Have you ever said something and afterwards regret saying it? I know I have many times. And will we do it again? Will I do it again? Yeah, I do. I do it again and again. That's why this talk is really good for me. It is essential that we study this major subject of communication. Our tongue can scatter kind words that will never die, but go on and on blessing, or full of deadly poison, it may scatter poison seeds and thoughts and crush the lives of others. Since we, as consecrated children of God, are being judged in advance of the world, the Lord has placed great emphasis on this subject of the tongue because of its importance, which is why there is so much written throughout the scriptures. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Luke chapter 6, 45. Quoting in the sixth volume, page 587, first paragraph, it says, and listen to this carefully, when we have a great deal of difficulty with our tongue, there is a great deal that is not altogether right about our hearts. that in proportion as we get our hearts right, we will have less difficulty in controlling our tongue, unquote. Our tongue has more influence than all the rest of the body combined. So it is really important that we control our tongue in the Lord's service. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the tongue. Or the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof, or will suffer the consequence. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You see how important what we say is. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Since we see this hope to be with our Lord Jesus and to be with our Heavenly Father, it should give us the desire and to be with the like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. We are representing our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus. We are to let our light shine through what we say, because it is an indication of what's inside of us. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. In other words, our religion is empty or useless. The February 20th manna comment from this text, it says, because the tongue is an index of the heart, because out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaketh, therefore the unbridled tongue, speaking selfish, envious, bitterly, boastfully, fantasy, prove that the heart from whose fullness deeds overflow is unsanctified, unholy, grievously lacking the Spirit of Christ. Hence, whatever religion it may have attained is thus far, as that heart is not saved nor fallible. Unquote. So it is the intent of this talk to be a blessing to all the brothers, but especially to me. It to drive up the narrow way and overcome. Let's open our Bibles to the third chapter of James and examine verses 1 through 18. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This chapter begins with a warning to those that are teachers. They have to try to make sure that none of their words would misrepresent the divine character or divine plan. Our words can dishonor God, as well as do injury to those who might hear us speak. This advice is good not only for elders, but for each one of us. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. This seems to be saying that if anyone could gain control of his tongue, it would prove his ability to control every avenue of his nature. Jesus is the only one who ever controlled his tongue. John chapter 7, verse 46. Never man spake like this man. James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. James here gives the thought that we can control a horse by putting a bridle in his mouth, but not so with our tongue. How many here can control their tongue? I think we all have a big problem. I know I have a big problem. Self-control is required of each one of us if we are to be a more than overcomer. As new creatures, we can be determined to control our tongue, and as much as we try, we fail. Let's read the October 1st Mass. Psalms 39:1. I said, I will take heed to my ways. I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. In other words, we're going to restrain our mouth, keep it under restraint, while the wicked is before me. Continues to say, probably every person of experience will fully agree with the statement that the tongue is potent in its influence beyond any other member of the body, for either good or evil. Experience teaches also that with the vast majority it is easier to control any other organ than the tongue. So skillful a servant is that is it that every ambition and passion and inclination of the fallen nature seeks to use it as a servant or channel to evil, unquote. Tongue influence is one of the most important works that we have in respect to our mortal bodies or the Lord's service. We have to learn to control it. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
If you don't, let me know. Then James goes on in verse 4, using the New American Standard, James chapter 3, verse 4, look at the ships also. He's saying, consider the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds and are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. A small rudder on the ship can direct a large, powerful ship. This is an illustration of what our tongue and also what we write can do, because the pen represents what we say. Our tongue can influence many people. So maybe we should find a rudder for our tongue, for our mouth. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Even though the tongue is a little member and boasts great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Think about a little match and what a big fire it is like. Our little tongue is able to accomplish great things, either for good or for evil. It depends on how we control every word we speak. Our tongue can defile the whole body. Quoting from the 6th volume, page 587 again, the lips which continually speak scornfully of others indicate a proud, holy, domineering, self-conscious condition of heart. The lips which continually speak evil of others either directly or by insinuation, and it says, speaking about insinuation, the words in sin are within that word insinuation. Insinuation means a sly hint or suggestion, especially against someone, and indicates that the heart acts of the lips are not pure, not filled with the Lord's spirit of love. That such things be put far away from all who name the name of Christ in sincerity and truth. Let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Love would give others the benefit of doubt and rather surmise the favorable than the unfavorable. Unquote. Do we give others the benefit of doubt and surmise the favorable or good rather than unfavorable? This would be an important step in making the right heart. James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Many of the difficulties of life are traceable to unruly tongue. Hasty and impetuous words have caused wars and cost millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of lives. many of the domestic troubles which we have affected our race for the past 6,000 years can be traceable to something that the tongue is the cause of many, many of the hardships and difficulties of life. And much of what is said is not meant to be said, but ends up destroying lives. Does this mean that we cannot strive to overcome the problems that the tongue causes? We always keep on trying to overcome, regardless of how many times we fail. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similar sort of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. With the same tongue which we praise God and confess His truth and goodness, we end up speaking evil and murmuring and lying, just to name a few of the things. James goes on and tells us to look at the nature of the illustration. James chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either in a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So with the new creature, our new mind should have a singleness of purpose. We shouldn't be blessing God and cursing men with the same tongue. Nor will we be fit for the kingdom until our hearts are able to dominate our tongues, so we can show forth the praises of God and speak words of blessing with our tongue. The tongue can either do good, do evil, or it can bless, and that's up to us. James asks a question in verse 13. James 3:13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endures with knowledge among you?" And then he says, "Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness and wisdom." Now I have a list of 6 scriptures which show the wisdom of a good conversation and a benefit and blessing that results. Number 1, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. "Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble." Watching our tongue and being careful of what we say will keep us from a lot of trouble. As much as possible, we should live peaceable with mankind. Number 2, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A kind and gentle answer may turn away anger and will show forth fruitage in the Holy Spirit." And I remember a time years ago, a brother was in a car accident, and it was his fault. And the guy got out, started screaming and yelling at him, and he said, "I'm sorry, it was my fault." The guy calmed down. So that shows how we talk to talk. Number 3, Psalms 119, verse 72. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. If we praise the Lord with our lips, the reward is many times over." The tongue can be very powerful and should be used for good. Much damage has been done by the tongue, even amongst the brothers. Number 4, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens morning by morning, he wakens mine ear to hear as the learned." The Lord has given us the greatest subject to talk about, His wonderful plan. We don't need to speak carelessly with our regard to others. Number 5, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." We can do 10 times the good with the word spoken at the right time than we can do with the right word spoken at the wrong time. Number 6, Psalm chapter 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of the righteousness, of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Without God, where will you be? God has been so good to us and has given us everything we need and more. That is, praise him with our lips. Are we praising God by speaking evil words? I don't think so. There may not be a tomorrow for us. So what we say today should be words that will benefit. I will be careful to honor my lips, my Lord, with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. That's what our morning resolve says. If we speak honestly, our conscience will be clear. If we always tell the truth, we don't have to keep making up stories and trying to remember what we said to in the last lie. When we lie, we have to tell another lie to get out of the last one, and it will never stop. So these six scriptures, if we listen to what they say and apply them to ourselves, we can praise God and not curse him. Okay, let's continue by reading James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Evil speaking would be anything that causes harm, pain, misery, or disaster to someone else. Anything that is undesirable or not good. Listen to what the scriptures say about evil speaking and evil doers. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. In other words, a false mouth. One not easily controlled, stubbornly willful, and contrary. Psalm chapter 10, verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20. He that has a forward heart findeth no good, and he that hath perverse tongue falls into mischief. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of the soul. And Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Backbiting is Strong's number 5643 and gives the thought of a covering, a disguise, a hiding. They use their mouth to hide their own weaknesses and to place the focus on others. Psalm chapter 52, verse 2. Thy tongue deviseth mischief, like a sharp razor, worketh deceitfully. Is this the way we want to be? I don't think so. If we use our tongue in this manner, we would temporarily join the enemy and admit that his methods are better than our Lord's, to whom we belong. When we speak evil, it implies that the old nature is not being kept down. It means a slow spiritual development or a falling away on the part of the new creature. Psalm chapter 12, verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Then it goes on in Psalm 119, verse 163, and this is what King David said about lying. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. How do we feel about lying? Our Heavenly Father won't deal with liars. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. What is a lie? A lie is making a false statement that one knows is false, or to give a false impression Anything that gives or is meant to give a false impression. We don't even have to say a word to lie. We can bear false witness by a nod of the head, or a shrugging of our shoulders, or by silence. If the statement was made in connection with our silence, might be understood to be consent. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to the naughty tongue. Psalms 109, verse 2. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome offensive morally, and cometh to shame. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that feed death. The New English Version renders this way. The riches you get by dishonesty soon disappear, but not before they lead unto you the dog of death. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. The desire of a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, where the Lord tells us the seven things he hates. Among these are, in verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue. In verse 19, it is a false witness that speaketh lies. Why does the Lord hate these qualities? Well, I think because these qualities are from a heart condition, and if not corrected, can lead unto our destruction. In Psalms chapter 15, it speaks about a righteous man. In verse 1, it asks the question, Lord, who shall abide in my tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You turn to Psalms 15, verse 4, and go especially to the last part of that verse. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. Then it says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What does that mean? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Well, if we turn to the New International Translation, it says it this way. Who keeps his own oath even when it hurts. And today's English version says, he always does what he promises, no matter how much it costs us. So these things are saying that when we give our word, we keep our word, even if it comes to hurt us. Then in James, James finishes in this chapter with the verses 17 and 18. I'm going to use the New American Version here. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. In the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who have this wisdom will have the heart condition that will enable them to speak from the heart. Let's compare the fruits of righteousness with the fruits of evil in the following scriptures. I think that's 10 of them. Listen to the contrast in these scriptures, beginning between speaking in the evil way and speaking in a good way. Number 1, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. Tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Number 2, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Number 3, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Notice the contrast Number four, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. The words of a wise man are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that opens wide his mouth shall have destruction. Number six, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut off. Number seven, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness, speaks falsely or inconsistently. Number eight, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Studies to answer gives a thought to ponder, to give heed, or pay attention to how we reply or give an answer. But the mouth of the wicked pour out evil things without giving much thought to it. Number 9, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Number 10, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fool pours out foolishness. What are your thoughts after hearing these scriptures? Does this motivate us to want to speak in the right way, pleasing to the Lord? God's people can bless or curse, bless or curse or praise His name with our tongues by showing forth His praises. We can do this by declaring the truth, by witnessing to His providence on our behalf, and we have a lot of those, by hymns of praise, by prayer, also by living a consecrated life that we promised the Lord we would do. Now let's talk about another sin of the tongue, gossiping. Gossiping refers to a person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors, especially about private affairs of others. It can turn into evil surmising or evil speaking. I want to tell you a story about gossiping. A person came to a rabbi. We'll call this person John. John came to his rabbi because he, John, had been gossiping about the rabbi and wanted to apologize and ask forgiveness. The rabbi said, "Before I forgive you, John, I want you to do one thing for me." And John said, "I'll do anything to make amends." The rabbi said, "I want you to get a feather pillow and take it up to the highest mountain and tear it open." So John did just as the rabbi asked. He went, he got a pillow, he took it to the highest mountain and tore it open. What do you think happened? It was windy, and John stood and watched the feathers blow all over the place. John came down the mountain, happily expecting forgiveness from the rabbi. Instead, the rabbi said, "I want you to do one more thing for me." John again said, "Anything." The rabbi said, "I want you to go back up to the mountain, gather all the feathers up and put them back in the pillow." And John said, "That's impossible. They blew all over the place." The rabbi said, "That's right. You can't go back and gather up gossip and put it back the way it was." So the feather pillow blowing all over the place shows how impossible it is to fix the damage that has been done. All we can do is ask forgiveness and have repentant heart and not do it again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matter. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. And whether they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. This is a temptation that many of us fall into. It's called meddling. quoting from volume 6, page 407, the golden rule would surely settle and dispositions and gossip about others and their affairs. What slanderer wishes to be slandered? What gossip wishes to have his matters and difficulties and weaknesses discussed either publicly or confidentially? The world has little else to talk about than gossip and scandal, but the new creation should preferably be dumb until the love and plan of God have furnished them with a great theme of which the angels sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to rule towards men, unquote. How do we overcome the tongue and its weaknesses? Our Lord has pointed out antidotes for correcting the tongue. Medicine, when properly taken according to direction, will strengthen our heart. And we have some admonitions in the following scriptures that should point us in the right direction. The first one is Titus chapter 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. All men refers to everyone, not only our friends, but especially to our brethren, and also those we come in contact with in our dealings in the world, and also those close to us, in our own family, and even our enemies. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Excuse me. But not rash with thy mouth. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. In other words, think before we speak. Would we say this if the Lord was present? Would our Lord use these words? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth, a distorted or false mouth, and perverse lips put far away from thee. God likeness cannot include anything harmful gossip, any unclean or unholy conversation, or any disloyal or rebellious word. Psalms chapter 34, verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with thought, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Be warm and lovely in the way you speak. We want a purifying influence when we speak. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We should speak only about things that can build others up. Prayer is one of the most important antidotes in overcoming. Let us remember daily to settle up our account with the Lord, to make sure that no record of idle or unrepented words and consequence unforgiving sin against us. If we daily render up our account to God and seek His grace for overcoming, with each succeeding day, we will stand approved before God. Okay, what course should we pursue by those who find their words impure? Brother Russell says in the April 19th manna, our first concern should be for our heart, that its affections and dispositions may be fully under the control of divine grace, that every principle of truth and righteousness may be enthroned there, that justice, mercy, benevolence, brotherly kindness, love, faith, meekness, temperance, supreme reverence for God and Christ, and a fervent love for all the beauties of holiness may be firmly fixed as the governing principles of life. If these principles be fixed, established in the heart, then out of the treasures of the heart, the mouth will speak forth words of truth, wisdom, and grace. End quote. Our hearts represent our character, and our mouth is the index of the character. So we should be able to speak the words of truth, and goodness, to honor the Lord and the Heavenly Father. Listen to what our Heavenly Father says about the relationship of our heart with our words. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Then Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Under the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is not pure. But even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and under every good work a reprobate. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our Lord is seeking a people specially purified. If we want to be faithful, we should be anxious to be pure. Our purifying comes not just through hearing and believing the truth, but also in obeying it. It requires on our part, of each Christian, increased diligence, wisdom, and care, so as to govern our tongues and bring it into subjection to the new mind in Christ. In closing, I'd like to give some helpful hints for keeping our tongues. I think there's nine of them. Number one, we have to resolve in our own mind to mind our own business, to have enough of our business and the Lord's service to fill our minds and thoughts so that we won't have time to gossip or speak. Number two, we should exercise great patience with others and their faults. In this way, we won't get angry and then say something that we don't mean. Number three, we shouldn't be easily offended. We should take a kind view to the words and actions of others. We shouldn't imagine evil intention or motives behind their words and actions. Both think it's no evil. The wrong spirit must be gotten rid of, and not one solitary suspicion should be uttered against another. Number four, if we have been slandered, we may explain to correct the situation, but may not slander back. Render evil for evil to no man. Number five, God's people are strictly forbidden to evil speak, backbite, and slander. Even if what is said is true, we have only one way for a grievance, and that is Matthew 18. Number six, we are to avoid pride. We are to become less dependent on ourselves and more trustful on the Lord. By doing this, we will not boast on our own accomplishments, but praise our Heavenly Father for everything. Number seven, be pure. Maintain a good conscience void of offense towards God and men. We begin this with our hearts and thoughts. We should harbor no thought that in any sense of the word would be evil. We should do this by using Jesus as our example, by being very close to him, and by going to the throne of grace every time we need. Number 8, reaches done, conscientious, and fault-finding disposition, a contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. Number 9, beware of all thoughts and feelings and conditions connected with malice, envy, strife, and hatred. Keep our hearts far from these, and don't even leave a room in our hearts for any of these things. This is a very important subject. If we don't strive to overcome the faults of our tongue, which we all have them, I know I have plenty of them, they will prevent us from being faithful. The overcoming will be not expecting of our flesh, but in the perfection of our heart, our intention. We fail many times, and we just have to keep on trying. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. May that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. And these are some of the thoughts that help me, and I have to keep going over them. And every time I do, I find out how much I fail. So I hope these thoughts, and there are plenty of scriptures in there, I hope they help each one of us. May the Lord add blessings. Let's close with the remainder of 243. And we'll stand.